Jensen Huang was direct this week. The debate about whether AI generates a return on investment is, in his words, over. That's a bold declaration from the CEO of the company that has benefited more than any other from AI infrastructure spending. NVIDIA's market position is essentially predicated on that claim being true, so Huang has every incentive to make it forcefully. But the substance of what he's arguing is worth examining, because Goldman Sachs released analysis this week that pushes back hard.
Goldman's numbers are specific and pointed. $27 trillion in AI-related market cap gains against roughly $9 trillion that their macroeconomic models suggest is fundamentally justified. That's an $18 trillion discrepancy. They're framing it as an earnings bubble risk, meaning the valuations have priced in productivity gains that haven't yet shown up in corporate earnings at scale. The historical parallel Goldman is drawing is to the late 1990s telecom and internet infrastructure build-out, where the underlying technology was real and transformative, but the timeline for monetization was years longer than markets assumed, and the interim period involved substantial losses.
What's interesting is that both Huang and Goldman can be right simultaneously. Huang's claim that AI ROI is real is defensible at the enterprise level, where specific use cases, code generation, customer service automation, drug discovery pipelines are producing measurable productivity gains. Goldman's claim that markets are overpriced is about aggregate timing and the gap between current earnings and priced-in expectations. You can believe the technology works, and also believe the stocks are expensive.
The Verizon story is the most concrete enterprise AI deployment data point we've gotten this week. Their CTO, Yago Tenorio, said 33,000 Verizon employees now use Claude Code for software development, and the company is targeting what it calls Level 4 network autonomy, meaning the network essentially manages and repairs itself using AI with minimal human intervention. That's not a pilot program. That's a full-scale deployment across a major U.S. telecommunications infrastructure, and it gives Anthropic a reference case that's hard to dismiss.
The congressional AI story is more awkward. Representative Luna defended her staff's use of AI after metadata from a Claude artifact was found embedded in a defense bill summary that had been circulated in Congress. The artifact notation, essentially a header that Claude Code leaves in certain document formats, wasn't stripped out before the document was shared. Luna's defense was essentially that AI is a legitimate productivity tool and the substance of the summary was accurate. But it raises a practical question. If AI-generated summaries are influencing how lawmakers understand defense legislation, what are the quality control and oversight processes?
The deeper issue isn't whether AI should be used in legislative drafting. That ship has sailed, and frankly, lawmakers have always relied on staff and outside experts for complex technical language. The issue is transparency and process. A defense bill summary shapes how members vote on a $700 plus billion annual authorization. The provenance and review process for that summary matters. Luna's defense was honest. Yes, we used AI. It was accurate. But the incident exposed that there's no standardized congressional protocol for AI-assisted legislative work.
Then there's the Grok story, which is genuinely revealing about xAI's actual business model. Two former employees told the information that over half of Grok's traffic is pornographic. Adult content generation is the majority use case. This context is essential for understanding Reid Hoffman's sharp comments this week. Hoffman, the LinkedIn co-founder, called xAI completely collapsed as a serious AI company and noted that SpaceX's IPO filings showed $6.4 billion in 2025 losses. If your flagship AI product's primary revenue driver is adult content generation, that's a significant distance from the Maximize the Understanding of the Universe mission statement that launched the company.
The Washington Post study finding that major AI chatbots lean left on political questions adds another dimension. The methodology of these studies matters enormously. How you phrase questions, which topics you test, how you define lean. But the finding will have political legs regardless of methodological nuance. Several Republican-led states have already passed legislation requiring political balance in AI systems used in government contexts, and this study will accelerate that legislative push. the AI companies are going to face increasing pressure to demonstrate ideological neutrality in a way that's essentially impossible to satisfy everyone on.
Before we move on, this is a good moment for a curriculum corner on antitrust law, because the AI industry's competitive dynamics are increasingly drawing regulatory attention, and understanding the legal framework matters. Marcus, do you want to walk through the basics?
Happy to. When people talk about antitrust in AI, whether it's the newspaper copyright lawsuit against OpenAI and Microsoft, or concerns about NVIDIA's dominance in GPU supply chains, or Google's position in both AI research and distribution, the foundational legal framework is the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890. Section 1 of Sherman prohibits contracts or conspiracies that unreasonably restrain trade. Section 2 prohibits monopolization or attempted monopolization. The key word there is monopolization, not monopoly. Having a monopoly isn't automatically illegal under U.S. law. What's illegal is acquiring or maintaining a monopoly through exclusionary conduct, meaning deliberately squeezing out competitors rather than simply winning on merit.
And market share alone doesn't establish that, right? That's a common misconception.
Exactly right. Courts use a two-part test. First, does the company have monopoly power in a relevant market, which typically means roughly 70% or more market share in a carefully defined product and geographic market? Second, was that power acquired or maintained through anti-competitive conduct rather than superior skill or product? NVIDIA has roughly 80% of the data center GPU market right now. That's the first part of the test. The question regulators would have to answer is whether NVIDIA's market position comes from making better chips or from conduct like exclusive supply agreements, predatory pricing, or technical lock-in that forecloses competitors. The nearly 400 local newspapers suing OpenAI and Microsoft are not making a monopolization claim, they're making a copyright claim. But as AI companies consolidate their positions, the Sherman Act framework is increasingly relevant to how we think about platform dependencies and competitive access.